Everybody can take their Bibles tonight, and we're going to start in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on how we are complete in Him. We sang tonight a song about being complete in manifestations. We heard that God has everything covered for us, that we are complete. And that's what the Word of God says. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints." So the mystery means a secret. There's a secret that was hid. A secret that was hid from ages and from generations, right? This is something that before Jesus Christ ascended, and before God revealed this secret, that all those Old Testament believers didn't know. Nobody knew about it. And verse 27 says, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, this secret, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of what?
Glory.
The hope of glory." Now the secret is out. And the secret is that it's Christ in you. Christ in you. And He brings with Him the hope of all the glorious things that are still to come. Okay? So when you're born again, it's Christ in you. And in 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about how if the adversary, if the devil knew that it was going to be Christ in each one of us, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ, right? He never would have, because he'd rather deal with one Jesus Christ walking around than Christ in all of us. And so that's why it was a big secret. Because if he had known, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. Right? But now it's Christ in all of us. All of us. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Probably on the other side of your page there. Chapter 2, verse 9. And this is in the context of that mystery. It says, "For in him, in Christ Jesus," is the hymn, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And that phrase means all the fullness of God in bodily form, right? Jesus Christ was a man. He was not God, but he represented all the fullness of God in bodily form. He walked perfectly. He did exactly what the Word of God said. He walked exactly the way that God told him to walk. Verse 10, "And you are complete in Him." You are complete in Him. So it's Christ in you, and because of that, you are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, all ruler and authority. Right? And that word complete there is, if you go into the Aramaic, it's the rare fourth verb form of the word. Right? So each verb form is more intense than the last. And it's not just complete. It's not just completely complete. It's not just completely, absolutely complete. It's completely, completely, absolutely complete. That's the intensity that God wants you to know how complete you are. So you're complete in Christ. Like a puzzle. There's not a single piece missing. Right? There's nothing that you lack. Right? You are completely, completely, completely complete. Right? And the intent, the impression we're supposed to get from this word here is that it's beyond comprehension. Like, we can't, with our tiny human brains, really understand just how complete we are. But God wants us to know that we are that way. At a minimum, we can be certain that we don't lack a thing. We lack nothing. Right? With Christ in us, we lack nothing. So we're going to examine the context of these two verses by backing up to verse 4. Verse 4 says, And this I say, so what he's about to tell us, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Right? Wants to give you some information, but doesn't want you to be tricked by other people. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Right? We've received Christ Jesus. We confessed him as Lord and Savior. So let's walk the way that he would walk. So walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him. Right? Steadfast. That's what it means to be rooted. Right? We're not easily plucked up. Rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy is worldly wisdom, quite literally. Right? Beware that you don't get tricked by what the world's telling you, because it will be contrary to what the Word of God says. Beware lest any man spoil you through worldly wisdom and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Right? God does not want us tricked out of who we are. Right? We can't give up our completeness. That's already done. But we can behave as if we're not. Right? And that's the warning here. Don't act like the world is going to tell you you should act. Right? That's how you get tricked. That's how you get tricked. We're to walk in the way that we've received. We've received Christ. It's Christ in us. Let's walk that way. All right. What does it mean to be complete? Go to chapter 1, verse 9. So the choice is up to us and us alone how we walk. But we know that we are complete if we want to act like it. Colossians 1:9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So part of our completeness is that we can know what God's will is for our lives, right? That we would be filled with the knowledge of his will, what God wants for us. What's our place in the body? What does God want us to do? That's understanding is part of our completeness, right? We can understand that in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, right? Wisdom being that sort of sense knowledge stuff that God can show you in the physical realm and spiritual understanding. Right? Because both parts have a thing to play. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitful means that we get results. So we can carry out that will of God, talked about in the previous verse, and get results. We can be fruitful in that walk. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Okay, so part of our completeness is that we're strong, patient, and joyful. Right? Like that big beefy arm with the smiley face in it. Strong and joyful. Right? That's part of our completeness, that we can be strengthened. And the reason for that strength is so that we can be patient and endure bad stuff. And we can do it with joyfulness, right? To patiently endure any situation with joy is part of our completeness. And that's really big, right? Because when bad stuff happens, a lot of people tend to get shook and tend to get, you know, scared and tend to get hide in their little hole. But God says that we have the strength to patiently endure any of that stuff. Right? That's part of our completeness in Christ. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet. The word meet there is worthy or qualified. He has made us worthy or qualified to be partakers, to partake of the inheritance of the saints in life. Right? That inheritance is the promise. The promise. We are worthy and qualified to receive God's promise of eternal life. Right? Part of our inheritance in Jesus Christ is His return, is going to heaven, is eternal life. We are worthy of receiving that promise. Right? That's pretty cool. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Right? The word delivered is like the word rescue. He's rescued us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or by the work of His dear Son. Right? The word translated is to be separated and brought in as citizens. That's what that word in the Aramaic means. To be separated and brought in as citizens. So He's taken us from the power of darkness and made us citizens of His kingdom. Right? So we are citizens of God's kingdom. We are citizens of God's kingdom by what His Son accomplished for us. That's part of our completeness. Rescued from the power of darkness. And that's past tense. That's already happened. Right? So if there's stuff going on in your life you feel like is dark, but God's already rescued it from you. You just have to believe it and claim it. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Right? Part of our completeness is that we've been bought back. That's what it means to be redeemed. We've been bought back from the adversary and forgiven of everything. And that's monumental to think about. You've been forgiven of everything. That's part of your completeness. God does not look at you and see any blemish or spot or sin at all. He sees you as forgiven. He sees you as perfect because of the Christ in you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And that's just a sliver of our completeness. I mean, yeesh. That's a lot. It's a lot to even think about. But it's just a small part of our completeness in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Those four things are all part of our completeness. We've got wisdom, right? We have the Word of God. God can show us things. That's wisdom. Sanctification, right? That's being set apart. We are set apart from the world. Righteousness. We are righteous before God, right? He has forgiven us of everything. We stand before Him righteous as if we've never sinned. And redemption, right? We've been redeemed. That's part of our completeness. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? That's the question. Here's some answers. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So there's a lot of options of things that could, maybe, throwing them out as ideas, separate us from the love of Christ. Right? Tribulation, distress, persecution, really difficult situations, things the world are going to throw at you, people who persecute you, famine, maybe you're really hungry, deathly hungry, not just like Wesley hungry, like really hungry, nakedness, I mean, maybe, you don't wear your clothes, separates you, I don't know, peril or sword, right, a strong military force, maybe that would maybe that would separate you from the love of Christ. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So, again, sort of a satirical or view of this, right? It says in the Bible, as it is written, we're killed for Christ's sake all the day long. We're like sheep for the slaughter, the persecution that the world will have us. But then in verse 37, it puts it all to rest. Nay, no, sir. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. We are more than conquerors, right? Super conquerors. Look, super conquerors. There you go. Super conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, convinced, 100% convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor future things, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are inseparable from God's love. Inseparable. No matter what, none of those things, nothing in heaven and earth or below, could separate us from the love of God. That's part of our completeness. So every time you think about God, you can think he loves me. He is never mad at me. He's never upset with me. He is never disappointed in me. He loves me. He loves me. And nothing will separate us from that. We are super conquerors. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. So part of our completeness is being able to conquer anything. Super conquerors. That's what it says. If it's God's will for your life, you can't go wrong. Super conqueror. First Corinthians 12, verse 7. Part of our completeness is that Holy Spirit and the manifestations of it that we can operate. Verse 7 says, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Any born-again believer can operate these nine manifestations. Four to one, prophet. One of the prophets is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To be able to know things that you can't possibly know and what to do with that information, right? Revelation from God. That's something all of us have the ability to do as born-again sons and daughters of God. Verse 9. To another, faith. Believing by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues, right? Speaking in tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and self-same Spirit, distributing, dividing is the word, distributing to every man, severally, every man, his own, as he wants to. Right? We can operate spiritual power via the nine manifestations. That's part of our completeness. Right? Is the spiritual power that we have. And these produce fruit in our lives. Go to Galatians 5. These produce fruit in our lives. Now, these fruits are things that other people will, from time to time, manifest in their lives. right? In the physical world. But when it's a spiritual fruit, it's at its peak. It's at its most potent, right? And it's perfect. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and here are the fruits of the Spirit. When it says fruit of the Spirit, it means these are the results that you will see in your own life as you operate those nine manifestations, right? These are things that you'll experience in your own life as you operate the Spirit that you have. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Okay? Love is unselfish concern for others, right? Joy is an internal happiness. It's an inside job. Peace, an internal quietness or a state of undisturbed believing. Long-suffering is patience, and it's proper behavior while waiting, right? It's not just waiting, but it's the ability to wait properly, right? You tell your kids all the time to be patient, and they're squirming around, right? That's not what God's talking about. God's talking about just being at rest while you wait, that patience, knowing how to wait. Gentleness. Gentleness is actually kindness and helpfulness. It's the word for kindness and helpfulness. Goodness is moral or virtuous. Faith, faithfulness or dependent. Being dependable. Meekness, which is humble or gentle. And temperance, which is self-control. Okay, so these are all qualities. These are fruits of the Spirit that as we manifest that Spirit within, these will manifest in our lives, right? We will have joy. We will have peace. We will be able to endure with patience, right? We will have self-control. We will know how to be kind and helpful and humble, right? The fruit of the Spirit is the result of operating the power we have spiritually. And we're going to close in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. So we are complete in Him. We lack nothing. Right? The Bible doesn't tell us that life is going to be hunky-dory all the time. It tells us the truth, that we live in a world with an adversary. Right? That bad stuff does happen. But God's given us the tools to be able to deal with that stuff. He's given us the tools to be able to live an abundant life where we're blessed and happy. And that's part of our completeness. And the full extent of our completeness will only be known when Christ returns. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What love He had for us to call us His kids. Incredible love. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Right? The world's not going to understand you because the world doesn't understand God and what His Son accomplished. It's plain as day. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It's not totally clear how awesome it's going to be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. When Jesus Christ does come back, that's when we'll know. We'll see Him as He is, and we'll really understand and appreciate the completeness that we have as sons of God with Jesus Christ in us.